just Wednesday night's message for me was just a hallmark message. And this thought I was thinking about Wednesday night when Pastor was speaking, like, here's Moses on the mountain, and there's a battle in the valley, right? But the natural mind can ask this question: what does what's going on in the mountain have to deal with what's going on in the valley? And what, because what's between the mountain and the valley? Air. And Satan is the god, the prince of the power of the air. And there can be discouragement that happens in a life between those two realities. And practically as a believer, right? Like, I can say, okay, I'm praying, I'm drawing near, I'm coming to church, I'm reading my Bible. But then the projection can come in and say, what does that have to deal with a situation in this person's life, or at work, or in the neighborhood, or in the country, or what's going on in Ukraine? And listen to this amazing. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 says, "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." There's a direct connect, because what's going on in heaven affects what's going on the earth. God ever lives to make intercession for who? For us on the earth. But he's interceding in heaven. And this is amazing, because, like, as Moses lifted up his hands, victory in the valley, the battle. As his hands fell, defeat. And practically in our lives, and this is what I was just meditating on for me personally, don't think that what's not going on in my relationship with God will not have a direct impact with maybe someone I meet today. It could be simply I was at the laundromat on Friday doing laundry, and this guy came and he said, "Have a blessed day." I said, whoa, what did you say? His name was Patrick. He said, "Have a blessed day." I said, "Wow. You believe?" He says, "Yeah." And then, like, for 45 minutes, the fellowship in the laundromat. Why? Because God is the God. Like, this is what it said. This is amazing. So in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23, "The servants of the king of Syria said unto them, Their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." This is natural. This is like, okay, yeah. Their God is like, when they're in church, their God is there. But when they're at work, nah. When they're at home, nah. As a teenager, nah. But this is what God said, verse 28. "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Isn't that awesome? Like, we're here, and this week, God is going to be moving in Europe, and God is going to be moving here. God is going to be moving in our, as we hear the word of God, and we believe that God is going to work in our individual lives and our situations, because there's a direct connect between the two, right? And, like, I love Galatians 6:9, like, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap." Like, sometimes, and we heard on Wednesday night, Moses' arms got weary. But who was there? Aaron and her. The body of Christ. A phone call. You know, an email, a text message. Thinking about you. Praying for you. God is with you. Don't faint. It may be dark. But what I love what Pastor Stevens would always say. Lighten the corner where you are. No matter how dark it is, let the light of the Word of God enter in. By faith, let's draw near this week. By faith, let's expect great things by God this morning. Why? Because there's a direct connect with the mountain and the valley, with the hills and the plains, in heaven and in earth. That's key, right? And that's so encouraging. So just that little thought, you know, we're having an expectation from God, both places, and they connect. And not allowing the air to change my walk of faith that God is not with me or God is not in both places and he's not working and they're not connected. Amen. And just as we think of giving this morning, with that thought, you know, God is with me in my Bible and in church, but God is also with me in my finances. And by faith, I give. I trust him. He says, prove me now. Prove me now. Test me. Look to me. Expect from me. And see if I will not move. So this morning, you know what? We can give. And we give cheerfully. And we give with an expectation, not in ourselves, but in God, who can take little or much and still work. Why? He's the God of the hill and the valleys, the mountain and the plains. He's God in heaven and on earth. Amen.
Okay, before we preach our message this morning, I just want to praise the Lord with you and just say his name many times and praise him. How much we praise you. Thank you, God. Praise your name. Oh, yes, Lord. We are the assembly, the great Psalm 40, the great congregation. That's what Christ calls his church. Lord, you did not hold back from the great congregation. Lord, fill us with your Spirit all the time as we are before you in faith. Minister your word, bring the word to our hearts and speak truth into our inner man, we pray. We praise you. We pray for family. Why don't you just take take the hand of the person next to you and pray for your families. Pray for aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, children, grandchildren, and just have a prayer for your family. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord God. Jesus. For Ukrainian families, Lord. The people in the war. God. The ministry in Poland this week. Every speaker. All the prayer happening here and there in Europe. And for guidance, for leadership in our country and in Europe and everywhere. Lord God, we are looking to you and praise you for the gospel, the message of Christ to the hearts of men and women and children and teenagers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we will be looking in Galatians, but we want to build the message as we go verse by verse. In this verse, Deuteronomy 30, and we have this verse on circumcision. And circumcision. So verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. What for? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou may live. When we were born again, regenerated and given a new heart, a new spirit, in Ezekiel 36, then we had this love put in our hearts. Our hearts were circumcised. I want to draw a picture of a Jewish person. Here's a Jewish person, and there is the heart. And so this is the outward person, a Jewish person, outward. And then the inward, or the inward or inner part of the Jew. The Jew had both. He had these external, his flesh was circumcised. And isn't it interesting, if you think about it, we're all adults here, so I can say that the anatomy, the physical anatomy of a male, and him being physically circumcised, has to do with reproduction, has to do with cleanliness, has to do with a change from being a Gentile. When Abraham, but I have a question for you. When Abraham was saved, was he circumcised? Right. Romans 4. He was saved before circumcision. Before he was circumcised, God gave him circumcision after Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, we read that he was justified and that God imputed him with righteousness because of his faith. He had faith in Christ, so he was saved uncircumcised. It's important to remember that. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But God is saying something very important here that is repeated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2. Let's go there and read that, Romans 2. Lord, breathe on these words in our hearts, Lord. We are circumcised in our hearts. Wow. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Do you see that? That's this one. He's circumcised outwardly, but is he a Jew? He says here he is not, even though he's circumcised outwardly. Isn't that interesting? He's saying he's not really. The meaning is that when in the word here, let's look at 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Let's put here heart and the word spirit. What does he mean, not letter? Not letter. What does that mean? He means that the Bible is written and there are letters, words. Letters make up words. And the Jews were studying the words of the Bible, but missing the message of the Bible. Christ came and he said, you search the script. He said, search the scriptures and see. They're written about me. But you don't know me. If you knew my Father, you would know me. If you knew me, you would know my Father. But you don't know me. But you study the Bible. And what he means is you are studying the letter. Also, the Jews were well known for taking the Bible and taking commentary, and they moved from the Bible to commentary, and they had their teachings, which was the oral tradition, and commentaries, and Christ challenged them on that, Matthew chapters 12 and 15, and he said, have you never read? Have you never read? Verse 3, verse 5. Have you never read? Verse 7. How is it you do not understand? Because he's saying you are replacing the word of God with your traditions. You are not humble. You are circumcised and you're proud of it. But are you circumcised inwardly? That's our subject today. Are you circumcised in your heart? Moses said before God in Exodus 6, he said, I cannot go to Pharaoh because I am of uncircumcised lips. Wow. Another body part, actually. My mouth. I don't have your... You see, when the knife touches the physical body of the Jew, it is saying he is different. He is circumcised in his flesh. He's a Jew. But they miss the real meaning because Paul is saying it's not outward that makes you a Jew. It's who you are inwardly that makes you a Jew. We just read in Romans 2, 20 and 29. Let's do it again because I want to make it clear to you. I'm not teaching you. I love it that you can come here and have an open Bible and you can follow the teaching and say, Pastor Schaller didn't say that. The Bible says that. The Bible says that. Check it out. And it might take you weeks or months. It might take you even years. But you've got the Bible as your reference and you follow through with the Bible and learn the Bible. 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. I have a question for you. Are you a Jew? We say, so we don't confuse people, I am a spiritual Jew. We might say, I am a Jew. I've been grafted in. I am like Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. We are children of faith, Romans chapter 4. We are believers like Abraham. We have been grafted into the line. We have been born of the Spirit. We are a Jew that is circumcised inwardly. And our lips are also changed. There's a change because of the way we talk. I don't swear anymore. Anybody in here swear like a trooper? Swear like a sailor? Huh? Cheryl Bogardus? Harold? Well, anybody in here swear? Day and night, day and night. No. Yeah, we have circumcised lips. We have changed. We are not like a Gentile. We have changed inwardly. God, by the way, I want to encourage you. God is working in your life. Believe it. You might say, I don't see it. Believe it. He is working in your life. He is for you. Believe it. God is for you. Wow. He's with you. He is for you. Do not lose courage. Do not give up. You are circumcised inwardly in your heart. You have a tender heart. You have a real heart. You have the gift of grace. You have the new birth. Christ dwells in you. And so that is what we want to say today. Now, in different parts to it. Okay, now, have you ever seen some piece of furniture that looks like it's like marble? And I was at my son's house yesterday, and he had a coffee table. I go, wow, is that marble? He goes, no, I doubt it. You know what I mean? How about the houses that are built? How much of it is plastic? You know, you understand what I mean. How much is just, you know, spray-painted gold? But it's not gold. the things we buy, how much of it is real material, maybe genuine, but it looks like it's like quality, but actually it isn't. Isn't that true? This is like this picture here. I want to say that the man that has religion, and and we are all like this, but we adopt a model and we follow with the procedures and the activities and the words. But then the question is my heart in it? Has God touched my heart, you know, right? So this is important to us, okay? So would you like to, I know you want to say something and you want to listen to me. I know that, I can tell you want, you're tracking with me. We're doing good. But we have more to say about it. But I want you just to turn to your neighbor and just say, I want not only the outer activity, but I want that inward reality in my life. Okay? And you can talk a minute about it. All right, now turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Is that Mary Jo back there? Is that Mary Jo? Yeah, okay. Pastor Glenn and Pastor Pete were in Baku. I talked to Pastor Pete on the phone. He was on the plane. They were ready to leave to go to Tashkent, Uzbekistan. And I asked him, how was it? He said, it was amazing. The joy, the number of people that came. People came to the meetings, and they were just filled with a lot of joy. And he said, it was an amazing time. So that's a beautiful post-COVID, like, testimony. And now they're going further east to Tashkent, and people are gathering there for a day or two of meetings, and then they make their way to Poland. But thanks, Mary Jo, for doing that and sending your husband off. And if he was my husband, I would have sent him off too. Yeah, so, okay, so. Are we good at what you're following what I'm saying? Not only is the artificial world, and we know about how words can be empty, things we buy may not be genuine, things that happen in life, we are looking for God in them. We can be artificial. Christ, when he came to Israel, he was so saddened by this empty form. And when he was looking for love, and remember, he healed a woman on the Sabbath. He also healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath in Luke chapter 3. And the Jews were angry that he healed on the Sabbath. And he goes, wow. I mean, that's my word, but it was like, wow. Man, you guys, your hearts are cold. You don't have love. You are missing it. You don't know God. This is about God, you know. Yeah, your whole thing is just a game. Hypocrites, we all have that hypocrisy potential. And what it is hypocrisy is when we shift to this outward form and we give impressions, we kind of act our part and we give pretense, you know, meaning we can act it out. We can act it out. Like you might go share your faith with people, and usually when we do that, it's so genuine. But to be honest, it can happen that I would do it as a behavior that I learn. But I check myself and I say, I want to do this from my heart. Same with teaching and preaching. Be not many teachers, the apostle said, James said in 3:1, because we're really responsible for our words. We're really responsible for not only what we say, but how we say it. Not only how we say it, but what are we believing in our own hearts about it? Is it true? Is the Holy Spirit saying this? Have you meditated on it, prayed with it, thought about it? Is it in your spirit and in your heart? I don't want this to sound too high and mighty. I want to say to you that you have that in your life. I believe, I know you have that in your life. You just want to walk in it and not have hypocrisy. But the counter of hypocrisy is this. But let's talk about hypocrisy for a second. This is what it is. I have the outer form and I'm doing the Christian life. I have the behaviors, I have the language and everything. But I'm upset inside. I'm angry inside, let's say. I'm hurt, I'm upset, I'm angry inside. I can say smile, you know, and but inside, you see what I mean? And that's what the inner life is so precious, because Christ promised us that he would set us free, and we'd be free indeed. That's this picture on the other side there. The heart is singing a song, the heart and the spirit of God, and he has set you free in your heart. The way you live, the outward thing isn't the focus, but the genuine liberty and freedom of the spirit is. And you have that. But we all know that this may be weak. My spiritual inner life is weak. So I shift to the outer. And I go through the activity and the motions as a way of life. And I've met Christians say, I've been dead. I'm a Christian, but I've been dead for years. I haven't had any of God like really moving in my heart for years. And so, you know, we are sharing this message this morning to think about this. This is not, when I say I haven't had, Jesus hasn't been so real for me. I believe in Jesus. And actually, when I began the Christian life, I remember the liberty, the freedom, and the joy. Then life got real, and I just didn't believe that. I didn't rely on God. I wasn't really walking with God. Like, I just had to pay my bills and go to sleep and go to work and go through the motions and be a good person, try to be a good person. But as I am a good person, I work at being a good person, I got these ugly things that surface in my heart. I have these temptations. I have some bad habits that I've developed, some personal private sins. So I give the impression that I'm okay and I'm right, but I actually need some help. I need some help from God. So this is an amazing ministry of grace to the believer, where the Bible teaches us about grace. Grace is a total forgiveness. Grace is goodwill toward us. Grace is an amazing understanding of the nature and the character of God. It's God saying, you don't pay for your sin. You don't pay for your hypocrisy. I'm not condemning you. In Romans 8:1, I want to teach you my finished work. I want you to know who you are. I want you to know that I am for you. Yeah, but I am a hypocrite in a way. And God says, I know. That's not new to me. I know that. Thank you for being honest and being transparent and just coming to me as you are and saying, fill me with your spirit. or teach me your nature. I want to get occupied with you. I want you in my life. I need you to fill me with your spirit. Help me, teach me. And you come alive in the inner man. That renews your mind. Okay. So here it is. Galatians, the book of Galatians, behind the book is this idea that the Gentiles that became believers were now being taught that they need to be circumcised in their flesh. They're pagan people, adult pagan people in the churches in Galatia. And the Jews hear that they have become believers in Jesus, and they want to know the Bible. And the Jews in Jerusalem go there, and they say, now you are Jews, and you need to be circumcised. And they are basically agreeing. They're agreeing with that message that they need to be circumcised, you know, in their flesh. And so Paul writes a letter to them, and Paul is saying, the outward man and the outward thing, this whole message, what food you eat, can you eat shrimp? Can you eat lobster? No, you can't as a Jew, in Leviticus chapter 11. But we know that all the Greater Grace people up in Maine have a habit of eating lobster and shrimp. And so do we. Okay. So, yeah, you got to keep the law of Moses. You've got to be circumcised. And Paul is saying, not on my watch. That's not the message. And then he said, I am so amazed how fast you moved from grace to law. Let's read chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, many of you, I think, are familiar with the text, but it needs to be understood that Paul's message of the gospel to these people, this is in geographically, it's in Turkey, in Galatia, that area where there were many small churches, it looks like. And this is not a city. This is a territory that covers a big, big swath of territory. And he is saying, I am surprised that you are interested in this other gospel, which is circumcision of the flesh and the law of Moses. And he's saying, basically, I have been there. I have been a Pharisee. I have kept the law. I have been there. I know what it is. It is empty. It doesn't work. It's not the reality. It's on the surface. It's superficial. It's not mahogany and marble and walnut. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. It's a sham. It's an artificial play of arrogance, of hypocrisy and arrogance, and it's a show. But doesn't have any power in it. And I'm amazed that you would move away to that. Now, application. Could I also say, just leave me alone, I'll do my duty, I go to the church, I read my Bible, say my prayers, but don't get so serious about it. I got it covered. I'm a good person. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you very much. And we say to them, you are missing so much joy. You have so much peace, so much love. You're missing power. You have no idea how much fun the Christian life is. You have no idea what it means to have freedom on the inside, freedom from sin, because the law cannot make you free from sin. It only points out where you go wrong. And a good illustration we use often around here is like a mirror. A mirror will show you your face is dirty, but the mirror cannot wash your face. It cannot wash your face. The Bible can show you your face is dirty, but it's Christ that washes your face. It's the resurrected Christ. It's the power of God that washes your face and changes your life. It's Jesus that comes inside. Now go to verse 7. Which is not another of the same kind. This is heteros and homogeneous word. Forget the way it is. Meaning, it's another gospel, but it's not another of the same kind. It's another of a different kind. You know, if you've been in a restaurant, you say you have a Coca-Cola. The waitress says, "Do you want another one?" And yeah, I'll have another. And it means another of the same kind, another Coke. But if you said, "I have another, but this it'll be a coffee," your coffee is of a different kind. And that's what this is. You have taken another, not of the same kind, but another of a different kind. This is a different kind when you live by law. It's not a gospel, after all, anyway. Okay, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So we have... I have a good Greek comment here on this different gospel. The Judaizers' perversion of the true gospel, they added the requirements, ceremonies, and standards of the Old Covenant as necessary prerequisites to salvation. Then we have the word... wanted to find pervert. Yeah, okay. Pervert, verse 7. Pervert the gospel to turn something into its opposite by adding law to the gospel of Christ. The false teachers were effectively destroying grace, turning the message of God's undeserved favor towards sinners into a message of earned and merited favor. So then we have... accursed. The translation of the familiar Greek word anathema, which refers to devoting someone to destruction in eternal hell. Throughout history, God has devoted certain objects, individuals, and groups of people to destruction. Joshua 6:17 and 18, Joshua 7:1. The New Testament offers many examples of one such group, false teachers. Remember Jesus' anger with the false teachers and the hypocrites of Matthew 23 and 24. So we have a very serious word here from the apostle. Let's go to verse, and we'll finish up here. Verse 9, as we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. By the way, this picture on the right, pleasing men, is very strong in us. We want to please men. And even Peter was led away into this error, and it's mentioned here in Galatians chapter 2, that Peter was, I don't want to go into a long explanation on it, but only that he was intimidated by the leaders, the Jewish leaders who were saying you need to be circumcised and live by the law. And fulfill the law. And Peter over time, it looks like it was a gradual departure, even for Peter, to be afraid and intimidated by this religious system and say, yeah, I will not eat with the Gentiles, I will eat with the Jews. Because he was afraid of the Jews, their reaction to him. And Paul is stronger than Peter and saying, put it in their face. Yeah, eat with the Gentiles. Eat whatever they are eating and say, thank God for it and say your grace. Say, Lord, thank you for this smoked Portuguese eel. And thank you for the hors d'oeuvres of shrimp and crab and Maryland blue crab and Maine lobster. Thank you, Lord, in the presence of Jews. Because a Jew is one inwardly circumcised in his heart to love God with all his mind and soul and strength. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 30. But he said, I marvel, I'm amazed that so soon you are removed. And let me finish with that. You and I have this tendency to do the outward, but I know you. I know many of you, and I know how you live. And you can only take it so long before you say, this is a straitjacket for me. You know, I'll put it here. Cheryl Bogardus, she taught this to me. Straitjacket. No, I mean, I think, you know, we know what we're saying. That this Christian life, it could be, they would say, and the world thinks this way about us. Ah, those poor Christians, they're like in a straitjacket. They think they know it. They're the only way. They are narrow-minded. They're limited in their creativity. They have never discovered what it is to be alive and creative and function without law and without religion. We would say, I would say, yeah, I agree. Except, what did I find? I didn't find a straitjacket. I found a new heart that loves righteousness, that loves God. We love God. We love God. We've got God. God is in us. Christ is in us. We have a new life. We have the Spirit of God. We have liberty in our hearts. We can do any number of things. And by the way, Spirit-filled people are excellent doctors, laborers, lawyers, teachers, pastors, counselors, workers, mothers, fathers. Spirit-filled people who have a new heart with Christ in their heart. They have love and they have joy and they have peace. They have found the real liberty. I got to tell you, I don't know if I should say this because it's on the internet. Come on, loosen up, Pastor. Okay, I was in the sauna last night with my family, Bethany and Justin and Kyle and Lulu and Mika and... So we do that as a family sometimes, and then somebody said, Amy said, thank God, they quoted Amy, thank God that Bethany's a Christian, because, guys, if she wasn't, she'd be hugging a tree, she'd be burning incense, she's artistic, and she like, you know, that idea. So I told you, okay, a family thing. Okay, so... We were laughing about it. Thank God that she's a born-again Christian because she'd be, like in the woods dancing with the spirits and hugging trees and burning. I don't know if that's accurate, but it's funny to think about. And I say, the Christian life, there's nothing like it. It's the greatest freedom. It's the reality. It's the nature of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty, stand fast in the liberty. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Sing with all your heart. Pray to God. Trust in Him and live your life. Surrender it all. Surrender it all. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about your health. Do not worry about your house. Do not worry about your family. Do not worry about yourself. Fling it all upon Him. He cares for you. God casts our care upon Him, for He cares for you, in 1 Peter chapter 5. And stay flexible, elastic, fun-loving, joyful, because Christ came for us and He cares about you. He will take care of you. And that's what we have. Amen. Okay, that was good. Don't repeat that story I told you. Don't repeat that. Yeah, the whole world can get it now. Would you pray with me? Okay, here we are. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this book of Galatians and gift of grace, God. Thank You so much. And someone listening, listen, you might say, I fit into that category of people, but I want more. And Jesus said, it will be measured to you according to what measure you measure. If you bring a teaspoon to God, that's what you get. If you bring a bucket, you get it filled. If you bring a swimming pool to God, that's what He'll give you. If you will bring your heart and trust in Him, He will give to you with what measure you're looking. You are seeking, you will find. You are trusting, He will supply. He's a good, good God who is for you. Say, Jesus, I trust You. Forgive me. Take all my sins away. Forgive me and fill me with Your Spirit. Open Your book to me. Teach me from Your book, Your grace and Your nature and Your character. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.